Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us for this last half hour of great discussions. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Well, I hope you have a plan to vote on April 1st. It is a monumentally important election for the state of Wisconsin. The future of our public schools will be decided, as well as, I'm just going to say it straight up, a woman's right to control her body will also be decided on April 1st. Please make sure that you are registered to vote, that you know where your polling place is, that you've crossed all of your T's and dotted all of your I's. You can do that by going to myvote.wi.gov. Please take the time to check it out. Make a voting plan. Take a friend. Take a neighbor. Take someone who maybe doesn't have a car. Make a voting plan. Maybe even early vote. Just get that out of the way so you don't have to worry about lines on polling day. Right now, I am very humbled and privileged to round out today's Monday program. We began by talking about Ukraine, and we end today also by talking about Ukraine. I'm joined by a representative of Wisconsin Ukrainians, Karina Twidell. Welcome to the show, Karina. You've had a very busy weekend.
Thank you so much, Maggie. It's an honor to be here.
I'm so happy to have you. Wisconsin Ukrainians, very busy over the past weekend. I believe you had three rallies in Milwaukee, Madison, and Green Bay. Tell us why you were rallying, although I hope that is abundantly obvious to everyone. How did the rallies go? What was your message that you want Wisconsinites to hear and that you want the Trump administration to hear?
Absolutely. Yeah, we actually started getting busy last week. We had our planned rallies to commemorate the third anniversary of the full-scale invasion of Ukraine. And I just wanted to emphasize that when we talk about the war in Ukraine, I wanted for our listeners to be clear that it did not start in 2022. My hometown is actually in the area that has been occupied by Russia since 2014. So this is 11 years now. So for anybody who claims, maybe any administration that might be claiming that the war would not be happening under them, this has been with Obama and Trump and Biden, then Trump again, that the war in Ukraine has been lasting. But after last week, we actually needed to do emergency rallies just this past week. And we were really grateful for our community coming together in a matter of just one day. We organized it overnight. Like you said, it was in Madison, Green Bay, and in Milwaukee. The turnout was spectacular. In Milwaukee, I can attest that we had a few hundred people, so really good turnout considering we only had a day to let everybody know. And we organized those rallies in response to the meeting between President Zelensky and President Trump, just seeing just how things went down and seeing the lack of support and honestly just some of the Russia's propaganda that came out through some of the points that President Trump and Vance were sharing was deeply, deeply concerning. So we came out to stand up for truth and to dispel some of the lies that were propagated during that meeting.
Yeah, just to correct the record on some of those lies and some of the lies that have been told over the past week by Donald Trump, Vice President Vance, as well as senators like Lindsey Graham. Here are some of the lies. Obviously, Ukraine did not start the war. Russia invaded a sovereign country. Full-scale invasion, as my guest Karina has pointed out, began just over 3 years ago. Here's another lie. Donald Trump, in that meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky, claiming that the United States has provided $350 billion to Ukraine and that half the money is missing. That's a lie. We've provided about $100 billion, the vast majority of which has been in the form of weapons from U.S. stockpiles, which defense industries here at home then replaced and sold and did business. So it was an overall plus for the U.S. defense industry. None of that support is missing. And in fact, Donald Trump's handpicked special envoy to Ukraine, Keith Kellogg, said, quote, "We have a pretty good accounting of where it's going." Wow. And just a week ago, Saturday, so not this past Saturday, but a week before Saturday, Putin launched 267 drones into Ukraine, which was by far the largest drone attack of the war to date. What are Wisconsin Ukrainians, what has there been their response to what can only be described as an about face of decades of U.S. foreign policy and a commitment to support Ukraine in its stand against an aggressor with no respect for sovereign boundaries?
We are incredibly concerned and understandably worried. So many of us have relatives, very close friends still in Ukraine. And like you mentioned, that the air raids are happening every day. The drone attacks are daily. And just talking to my uncle, who is right now in Kyiv yesterday, he was saying that they're just used to it. At this point, they don't even go to bomb shelters. It's so exhausting living in this reality for so long that people are just used to going to work and recognizing that they might not come back alive. So it's very, very scary. But I think it's really important to keep in mind that this is not just about Ukraine. What's happening in Ukraine right now is really the war against the West. And if Ukraine falls, then the consequences are going to impact the whole world, because right now Putin is illegally invading Ukraine. And if we appease Putin right now, then these kinds of actions are then okay. So the United States siding with North Korea and siding with Belarus during the UN vote
resolution
is
just
an absolutely concerning direction. And I think it's important for all citizens who are paying attention right now to stand up and say that this is not what America's populace wants, that this is not who our allies are.
I think your point about it is an attack on the West by proxy, right? That the alignment of Ukrainian interests and American interests wasn't some idea pulled out of thin air by prior administrations. It was an extension of all post-Cold War and post-World War II U.S. foreign policy to defend our Western democratic allies. And Putin's aims for the last 25 years to weaken the alignment of the United States and our Western European and post or former Soviet Union new allies has been well known, to destabilize, to draw and place a wedge between these interests. But whether or not this administration chooses to see the alignment of interests between Ukraine and the United States or not, the fact that Donald Trump is trying to now somehow invent a difference in objective between the United States and Ukraine, or to impose upon Ukraine a deal negotiated without Ukrainians at the table, without President Zelensky at the table, will do nothing about the actual reality of the threat that Putin poses to the West. That is a fact, and certainly a fact supported by universal opinion from the entire U.S. intelligence community over the last 25 years, make no mistake. I wanted to get in and ask you, Karina, as a Ukrainian, what was your reaction to the tone of the meeting, to the meeting itself? As an American, I was simply shocked. And even had it not been an ally, I would have been less shocked, but still shocked to watch an American president engage in shouting down another foreign leader from the Oval Office. What was your personal reaction to that meeting? What is the reaction of your fellow Wisconsin Ukrainians?
Yeah, it was absolutely appalling. And really hard to watch, just infuriating. And there's another little known fact that in 1994, there was a Budapest memorandum that was signed between the United States, Russia, and the United Kingdom at the time, in order to basically say that Ukraine should give up their nuclear weapons. So at the time, United States was one of the parties that promised to Ukraine, we're going to protect you. Now give up your nuclear weapons. And Ukraine at that time had the third largest nuclear arsenal in the world. So thinking about how much might we had back then, and then we relied on who we thought were our partners saying that they would protect us, and to now for Donald Trump to act in a way that if, as if Ukraine is somehow owing something to the United States, where absolutely United States benefits from supporting Ukraine right now. This is in United States security and national interest to support Ukraine. Because if we are going to allow the world order to be in such a way that illegal annexations are just common thing, that our world stability is going to fall apart. And especially for a lot of people that are struggling right now with the prices, with inflation, I think it's really important to keep in mind that we're all interconnected and the world order is impacting our prices. It's impacting our gas prices. It's impacting how available certain products are, the trade. So just simply hiding away from the reality and pretending that we can focus on our country here in the United States is just so short-sighted and very misguided.
Extraordinarily well taken points, Karina. Folks, if you're just joining us, my guest for this segment, her name is Karina Twiddell. She is with the Wisconsin Ukrainians. Two things that I just for re-emphasis is one, the reason that the U.S. expends money in foreign aid for our allies that we've entered into these agreements is often the expression of soft power. Foreign aid often under attack from some conservatives, but the very brass tacks reality of these arrangements is that the amount that we have to expend in this use of soft power is a tiny fraction of what it would cost the United States if an active war and we had to commit troops if Russia continues its system of aggression or if the West further destabilizes. That's in direct military spending vis-a-vis foreign aid. Secondly, we're already seeing the impacts of this destabilization in our prices. You watch Western Europe destabilize further, potential tariff wars, all of these things. This is going to make it so much harder for the middle class and folks that may be more fiscally conservative for us to return to a steady economic growth cycle and low inflationary cycle. Incredibly well taken points, Karina. Where can people find out more about your organization and how can they help?
Sure. Yes, we have a website. It's wisconsin-ukrainians.org, or you can just search for Wisconsin Ukrainians, the full name of our organization, Wisconsin Ukrainians, Inc. And we're also really active on Facebook and Instagram. You can, again, just search for Wisconsin Ukrainians, Inc. And we also have a really active presence on these social media websites. So definitely feel free. I know some Americans who don't have any connections to Ukraine feel a little shy joining, but we absolutely welcome anybody and everybody who values freedom and democracy to join our cause.
Folks, that's Karina Twiddell of Wisconsin Ukrainians. I'll have some final thoughts on these incredible moments in our nation's history when we return right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.